A couple in a car crash.
He had a suspended license.
Did he have a suspended license on the day of this accident?
Yes.
She covered for her lover.
When the police came, I told them that I was driving.
You lied for him.
But after she took the fall, he took off.
We broke up.
Of course.
Did she get revenge on her ex?
There was trash scattered across my floor. My furniture was turned upside down. Everything was gone.
You're fibbing.
Judge Judy.
I'm pretty good at this stuff.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinman. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is her courtroom. This is Judge Judy. 20-year-old receptionist Crystal Jeffers is suing her ex-boyfriend, 19-year-old construction worker Derek Barnett. Crystal claims Derek crashed his truck and made her say she was driving. Derek is countersuing, claiming Crystal broke into his home and damaged his property.
Order, all rise. Now, this is case number 502 on the calendar, the matter of Jeffers versus Barnett. Parties have been sworn in, Judge. You may be seated. Folks, have seats, please.
Ms. Jeffers, some 2 years ago, the defendant, who was your boyfriend at the time?
Yes.
The two of you and a third person were driving in a car. Was it your car?
No.
It was his car?
Yes.
And there was an accident. It is your claim that the defendant was actually driving that day, but for some reason he asked you to tell the police that you were driving.
Right.
And initially you did that. You lied for him. Very next day you say you reported to the police that you had lied and sort of straightened things out. Sometime later you got sued by the lady whose car was hit by the car that you were in. The defendant, according to you, promised that he would pay the damage. You say he did pay for a while and then stopped. The defendant says that, no, you were actually driving the car and that he did give you some money.
Yes, ma'am.
But it was only because he was being a good guy and he was your boyfriend. And he has a counterclaim because he says that you broke into his house and stole some of his property and crashed the house.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So tell me, when was this accident?
On February 13th, 2000.
Was it a car or a truck?
Truck.
And was it two passengers in the front or three?
Three.
The two of you and who else?
His cousin, Nathan.
Who certainly wants to be heard, right, Nathan?
Yes, ma'am.
Hmm?
Yes, ma'am.
You sure about that?
Nervous, yeah.
Good. Where were you going?
I think we were going to look at some apartments in Edmond.
And it was his truck?
Mm-hmm.
Why would she be driving your truck?
I wasn't feeling right that day.
Tell me about it. What was wrong with you?
I was nauseous to my stomach.
If you were nauseous, how come you were going to look at apartments?
Because we had to find another place to live.
You were being what?
We're being evicted from where we were.
That sounds like a good word, after we were being. So you took your nauseous self and you put yourself in the passenger seat, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that right?
No.
Tell me what happened.
We left the house. I was sitting in the middle. He was driving, and his cousin was passenger. We drove up to Edmond, and we turned west. We were going under a railroad crossing, and he rear-ended a lady. He jumped out because he had had a DUI.
How did he jump out?
As soon as we hit the lady, he just jumped out of the truck to go and check on her, and he just looked over at me and said, "You were driving." And I said, "Oh, okay."
When did he have a DUI?
I think it was November.
Did you have a DUI in November?
Yes, ma'am.
What happened with that case?
It was dismissed.
When?
Maybe a month afterwards.
So it was still pending at the time that the truck was in this accident?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
When the police came, I told them that I was driving. When we went home that day, I went to my grandma's and told her what I did. She said, "Well, you're going to have to make this right. You'll just have to go to the police department and tell them you were lying."
And did you do that?
Yes.
Do you have any proof that you did that?
Yes.
I have a
false information report. A year later, I was served by the lady he hit. I told her I wasn't driving, told her I had a false information report, and I talked to her lawyer, and I told him, and he said, "Well, that didn't matter." And so he was going to go to court with me and tell them that he was really driving, and then at last minute he changed his mind and said...
Well, tell me about that. Tell me about the conversation that you had with him. Did you tell him that you filed this report that you had lied to the police?
Yeah.
When did you tell him that?
I told him the same day.
What did he say to you?
He said, "I can't believe you did that. You're family's trying to throw me in jail, and he was just really mad about it.
What did he say to you when the woman contacted you a year later?
He agreed to go and tell them the truth. And then at last minute, he decided he wasn't going to. He said he would just pay it off in payments to the attorney's office.
And what were the payments?
$150 a month.
What was the entire payment?
$3,344.87.
And at that time, was his DUI still pending?
I don't know. I just know he had a suspended license for as long as I'd known him.
Did he have a suspended license on the day of this accident?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. And how many payments of $150 did Mr. Barnett make?
I believe six.
Is that right, Mr. Barnett?
Yes, ma'am.
And then he stopped?
Mm-hmm.
Did anything coincide with him stopping the payments?
We broke up.
And did you have a conversation with him about continuing with the payments after you broke up?
Yes, at the beginning of 2 months thereafter, I would ask him, will you pay this? Will you at least pay half? And because I know it's part my fault, so I was trying to compromise him, pay half.
Why was it part your fault?
Because I took the blame in the first place.
That doesn't make it part your fault. That just makes you stupid. And he said, sue me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Murray, where were you seated in the car?
Passenger side, by the door.
By the door?
Yes, ma'am.
And who was driving the truck?
Crystal Jeffers.
Miss Jeffers?
Yes, ma'am.
You're fibbing.
No, I'm not.
Sit down. I was being kind to you, sir.
I understand.
I don't like fibbers, especially in court.
Neither do I.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Stand up here again. I don't think I'm finished torturing you yet.
All right.
You his cousin?
Yes, ma'am.
You friendly?
Yeah.
Like each other?
Yeah, love him.
And your cousin was nauseous that day?
Yes, ma'am.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
So why didn't you drive?
Because I don't have a license.
Neither did he. Doesn't seem to make any difference in your family. He didn't have a license either. The reason he wasn't driving was because he felt nauseous, not because he didn't have a suspended license.
May I speak, Your Honor?
Of course.
The reason I wasn't driving is because I felt ill. Just because I don't have a license didn't stop me from driving. That's
exactly what I said, Mr. Barnett. Why don't you pay attention, sir? I said it doesn't stop members of your family from driving. He said he wasn't driving because he didn't have a license. I said, neither did you. But the reason that you gave me for not driving that day and for having your girlfriend drive was not because you had a suspended license, but it was because you weren't feeling well, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Sit down.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Crystal Jeffers says ex-boyfriend Derek Barnett made her take the blame for a car accident he caused. Crystal claims he was driving on a suspended license and he didn't want to go to jail.
So now he owes you, because I don't believe him, $2,444. That's what's left. Now, you're only suing for half of that. Can you tell me why?
Actually, when I made my thing in Oklahoma, I miscalculated, and it's actually $1,944.87.
Well, did you make any payments?
Yes, because if I didn't make any payments, they were going to suspend my license. So I had to make the payments.
So you're just suing him for what's left?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate, but your lawsuit only asks for $1,450.
Yeah.
He owes you a lot more than that. You're getting away cheap, Mr. Barnett, considering the fact it was your accident. Now, you want to tell me about your counterclaim, and that is that you say that the plaintiff broke into your house and stole some property. Why don't you tell me?
I have a witness, also my mother.
Step up. Your last name is Barnett?
No, it's Libby Slavik.
All right, Ms. Slavik. When was this break-in, and what do you know about it?
It was in August, and I was driving by his home, and I noticed Crystal coming out of the front door with a box in her hand. And when she seen me, she dropped the box, and they all got in the truck and took off. So I pulled around, and I called the police from my cell phone, because I had known that when they broke up, he changed the locks on the house because she made it obvious she was not coming back in June.
So what did you do?
I went back to his house and waited for the police, but before they got there, he showed up.
And what did you find, sir, when you went into the house?
There was trash scattered across my floor. My furniture was turned upside down. Everything was gone, except for one piece of furniture, $300 cash out of my dresser drawer, TV, VCR, stereo, CDs, and movies.
What date had you broken up with the plaintiff?
It was about three weeks earlier than that.
On what date in the month had you been paying this $150 for this car accident?
It was on the first of every month.
Had you paid August's payment?
Yes, ma'am, I believe at the time, yes.
Did he make August's payment?
No, I made August.
Let me see what paper you're looking at.
That's a copy of all the payments that were made to the attorney office.
August, you did not make a payment, sir. She made the payment in August.
Okay.
What are you saying no?
No, ma'am, she didn't. I mailed that for him, so I know for a fact he paid it in August.
Why was he making these payments, madam?
Because the woman that she hit had called me on the phone. She had told me that Crystal was driving the truck, and then she said that she got a call from the police the next day. Crystal had went down and filed a false police report.
That said that he was driving.
He was driving. He was not driving the pickup. Her witness even said that Crystal was driving.
Your witness isn't here. And she's not here.
Wrong.
And he was driving the truck. Because if he wasn't driving the truck, he wouldn't have made these payments of $150 a month.
Well, Your Honor, I'm not going to sit here and say that
right.
He was, because I wasn't there. So
absolutely
I don't know.
Right.
I wasn't there.
Absolutely right. I don't have to be there.
But I was driving by his house when I seen her come out of his home.
All right. Now, Ms. Jeffries, let me get to you. And you know, I'm pretty good at this stuff. You went to his house mm-hmm. with some friends.
My mother, my grandma, my grandpa, and one of my mom's friends.
And what did you go there for?
To get my clothes and my furniture.
And it was your furniture?
Yes. My dad's mother that died gave it to me.
Did you take anything that didn't belong to you?
CDs and movies, but we bought those together, so I'm not sure who bought what, you know.
What about a TV and a VCR?
The TV I left there because that was his. His mother gave it to him. The VCR, my dead grandmother gave to me, and a stereo my other grandma bought at a garage sale.
What else was taken, Mr. Barnett?
Everything that I named to you before.
What?
The TV, the VCR, the CDs, the movie, $300 cash out of my dresser drawer.
So all of that totals how much, sir, do you think?
$1,500.
You think if I were to add it up all together, I would probably slash that a little bit. In any event, Mr. Barnett, I'm not going to get into a long, protracted case on who bought what movies and who bought what stuff. All I will tell you is that since I believe that you owe her considerably more than she sued for, I'm giving you nothing on your counterclaim because she's suing you for at least $1,000 less because she didn't understand that just because she made the payments that she could have sued for that too. She's just suing for the balance that's left. So you get zippo, nada. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $1,450. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Crystal has this thing about lying when she's under pressure.
If you lie, you're going to get caught. And he was lying.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Horsford versus Conrad. Step forward, please.
44-year-old homemaker Cindy Horsford is suing her former friend, 34-year-old real estate administrator Christina Conrad, for an unpaid loan.
Ms. Horsford, according to your complaint, you've known the defendant for about 9 years. You met at a 12-step program, a recovery program.
Correct.
And there came a time recently that you became reacquainted with her after a lapse in time. She was in need of money, and you loaned her some money. She says she did borrow some money from you, not as much as you claim, but that you have her coat, which is worth more than what she owes you. So when did she first ask you for money?
Probably August, July, August, or...
That's not true.
It's either, it's maybe November, I'm not real sure.
August That's or November?
Like November might be more like it, yeah.
Go to November. So she asked you for money in November. Under what circumstances?
She had owed a man money that she had an accident with.
And how much money did you lend her?
$200.
Did you give a check or cash?
Cash.
And when did you again lend her money?
It was around...
Ms. Horsford, did you know you were coming to court today? Did you know you were coming to court today,
yes.
Madam? Well, listen to me. You're coming to court today because you had two loans that you made to the defendant. This is not a complicated antitrust case. You made two loans. Such and such a date, this much. This is when I made it, this much. Because the questions are going to get harder. These are the easy questions, Ms. Austin. So when was the second loan? Let's give it to me again. Date and under what circumstances, madam?
The date was approximately the 18th of December, and it was for jewelry she had in the pawn shop that she had to make payments on her jewelry.
And how much did you give her that time?
Another $200.
Okay, and you also gave her cash?
Correct.
Anything else?
Yes, and I gave her an additional $60 after she had been asked to please leave.
Explain that to me.
Okay, I asked her to leave after about a week.
You mean she came to live with you?
Her daughter and her stayed for about a week.
Okay.
Which she insisted that I do.
Did she give you back any of that money?
Yes, she did.
How much did she give you back?
$50.
Now tell me about this coat that she says you have of hers.
She left a black leather jacket in my room, and I hung it up in my closet.
And it's still there?
I have it with me.
Oh, you have it with you? Great. So you can give it to her outside the courtroom?
Correct.
Is that right?
Correct.
Fine. Okay. Now, you gave her back $50?
$50, correct. And it was nowhere near the amount that she stated. She loaned me a total of $120, the bulk of that of which went towards getting my jewelry back, which she insisted on giving me. She stated that I stole $460. This was the original, what I was served. Now, if I stole it, my first question in my mind was...
Just a minute.
If I stole it...
Why did you write her that she stole money?
Because she wasn't going to pay me back. I figured that's stolen money.
No, it's loaned money. Do you have any proof that you gave her $460? Have any withdrawals from a bank?
No.
Well, where did you have this cash from?
I had it in my heart box in my drawer, and she knew where it was, too. I was saving it.
The heart box you couldn't find.
Well, I have a problem here. She acknowledges that she still owes you some money, like $70. Is that right?
Correct. And may I say something, Your Honor?
Mm-hmm.
I had money that was supposed to be coming to me by a certain date. It didn't. She had made several phone calls, leaving messages on my machine, asking to speak to my boyfriend. I left her the message and said, you know, can you please not involve my boyfriend or leave notes in my mother's mailbox? We're two full-grown women. It's between you and I. She went into an absolute tantrum, told me that she, quote-unquote, did not want to see my face until I had all of her money, and furthermore, wasn't going to keep her mouth shut. She was going to call my boyfriend and tell him whatever she felt like.
Go ahead.
When I got home that night, my boyfriend had gotten off the phone with her and was outraged about all kinds of allegations that she'd made, that I was chasing after her boyfriend, this and that.
Oh.
So I went to her a couple days later and knocked on her door. I had $70 cash. She goes, what do you want? And I said, I need my jacket. I was going to go on to say, and when you give me my jacket, I will give you your money. She slammed the door in my face, proceeded to throw a tantrum on the other side of the door, and I left and thought, let's just leave it lie, let the dust settle till after the holidays, and then I'll go back and reapproach the situation. Before that could happen, I got served with papers.
Okay. Bird, will you see to it that the coat is turned over outside to the defendant?
Sure thing.
Very good. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $70. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
She stole my clothes, my medication.
The woman is on like five different medications. She has some serious emotional problems.
I know what she did with the money. She used it for crack cocaine.
As far as any kind of habits, I'm coming up on 9 years.
She has a drug habit, and she ripped me off.